So Pastor Dr. Willie Robinson, come and minister the Word of God to us, my friend.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody in the house. Boy, half us left when he said kids go. Good Lord. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be here. Have a look, Lisa. We in living color? Amen. Hallelujah. Moving right along, moving right along. I tell you what, folks. Y'all rather be at church? Amen. Let me see now. Okay, thank you. I believe we are all right, don't you? Okay, we ready for TV? Are we just, oh, okay. I was going to say put it on my favorite channel. But let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. We're getting this January started off right, aren't we? We're going to be talking about money on the Wednesday night, talking about honey on the Sunday night. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we honor you today. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father God, for this another day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing in that you made it for us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're giving glory to you, Lord, for every word that is spoken here today. We thank you that every person have ears to hear, hearts to receive, no person to leave here the same. Because the word of the living God and the anointing of the living God brings change in our hearts. It brings progression in our hearts. We thank you that we are excelling. We are moving forward in the good things of God. And we know what to do in all circumstances because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, we've been studying discipleship for a great while now. I actually lost count. We come a long ways. We studied several subjects under discipleship. And now the reason why we did that because of the fact that the Spirit of the Lord led us in that direction. We know that if we're going to be disciples taught of the Lord, we must be taught of the Lord. And in order to be taught of the Lord, we must follow his footsteps. And in following the things that we are, his footsteps and the thing that we've been studying concerning his disciples and his teaching to the New Testament church, we found out that God has called every person. Every person has a calling on their lives. You see, when we read in Mark 16th chapter, starting at the 15th verse, if we go to the 18th verse, we'll find out that, you know, that God has given us the great commission. We see it in Matthew 28. We find it that he has given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I don't care what God has called you to do in the body of Christ, that commission goes to everyone. And, you know, if you're an administrator, if you're a preacher, if you're a lay person, whatever the gifting that is on your life, this is part of it. It's like in the military, you know. When you join the military, everybody gets a rifle. You know, an old person that don't know how to shoot a rifle. You get a rifle. You might not carry the rifle all the time. You might be one assigned with a pistol and a rifle. But you have a weapon. You see, God has assigned us and given us a weapon. He said, take his name. He told us to take the name and go into all the world and preach the gospel with it. He said to his disciples that followed him to go and preach it. Now, last week we started off talking about some of the works that they have done, that disciples was doing in the book of Acts. We began to talk about the move of the Spirit and how the disciples began turning out other disciples who began to do a work. So we talked about Philip, but we left off last week. Or did we leave off with someone else, somebody? We left off with Philip. You sure we left off with Philip, Peggy? Okay. As far as you can remember, we left off. We know that Philip was a disciple, and he was eventually moved up to an evangelist, and he went out doing the works that was taught to him. So everybody know why he went to preach? Where he went to preach? He went to Philippi. Hal wasn't even here. Look, Hal said he went to Philippi. Yes, yes, he did. He left, and he went, and he preached the gospel. Do you remember what I said, what he preached? He preached Jesus Christ. And preached what else? He preached the kingdom. It says in the eighth chapter, Lisa, eight five? I believe that's what it is, Lisa. By way of remembrance, we got to make sure we don't forget this. 8:5. Okay. Let's read 8:5 and 8:12. And say, okay. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. See? He said Philippi, and I agree with him. And preach. You said Samaria preach. Okay. Then she said Samaria real. You know. Be a smart husband, you know. He just and preach Christ to them. Now let's go to 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we see he preached the things that the disciple taught him, that Jesus taught the disciples. Jesus preached on the kingdom everywhere he went. So when the disciples kicked off, they went out preaching the kingdom and the name of Jesus. You see, it's the same thing with us guys. If we're going to be disciples, we need to have us a message to go preach. See, we want to preach the name of Jesus, and we want to preach the kingdom. What we know about the kingdom now? We know that the kingdom is in us. We know Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come." A lot of people don't believe the kingdom will come yet. That kingdom come, that will be done. Well, if you're born again, the kingdom has come. It's inside of you. You see, and I tell you what, it's orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Because you know everything you need is in that kingdom inside of you. And our biggest problem is knowing how to go in there and get out of the kingdom what we need to get. You see, it's all inside. God did a wonderful thing, didn't he? Didn't he do a wonderful thing? He put everything in us. You know, his people still looking up to heaven when they ought to be looking on the inside. And they'll go and tell you, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But yet they still look up when they pray. They look straight up to heaven. Now I guess they'd be looking at the stars. Like when I was a little kid, we used to look at the sun. Say, look, y'all, I can see the sun. You know, you're just looking at it, just burning your eyes, you're squinched all up. You see, that's about all you're getting when you do that. Because you should know better. We should know where the kingdom of God is. We should know that we're looking on the inside. We're believing from the inside out. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I'm believing that he was teaching the kingdom to these people. And these people believed his teaching that he was teaching about the kingdom and about the name of Jesus, you see. And as they believed it, they were all baptized. How were they baptized? In water, everybody say. In water. They was baptized in water. So he preached that, and then the Bible doesn't only say it. It said miracles. He was doing miracles. Miracles were working behind what he was preaching. And people were getting healed of diseases behind his preaching. Well, that's the same thing we as disciples should happen to us. But now we find out later on down the road that he preached all that to them. When they got back to Jerusalem, they found out what he had done. He gave his report. They sent down Peter and John. They sent them down to Samaria. What did they send them for? To get them filled with the Holy Ghost. See, he did all the preaching, and he did all the teaching. He did all the healing, but he didn't get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said when they went down, when Peter and John went down, they did what? Laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when now listen, you know like I know. You know, just think with me for a minute. If they went down, two preachers went down, they didn't go down and line them all up and said, "We're going to lay hands on you." You know they preached, don't you? They went down, they preached. They went down and they explained to these people concerning the Holy Spirit. They preached the word to them concerning the Holy Spirit, and as many as believed it came and got hands laid on them, and they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. See? Now, we know they spoke in other tongues because there was a guy down there that got saved. He was working in witchcraft. He tried to buy it off of them. See? He said, "Y'all want to buy this gift from you guys." you know, they rebuked him sharply and told me he couldn't buy the things of God and so on and so forth. I want to go that direction with it. But today, I want to stay with where we're going as disciples taught the Lord, because we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit himself. So as they went, they preached the Holy Spirit everywhere. But what we have now is that we have people in the body of Christ that's born again but don't have the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. They don't have it. That's the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But it goes deeper and further than that, having the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The Spirit does a great work. So that's what we'll be talking about today. So let me give you some scriptures here that we're going to turn to. That's where we left off at last week. Let me see. Let's go to Acts, Lisa, 19. And we're going to talk about briefly how to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I know a lot of you guys in this church have received the Holy Ghost. I know that. Now, but I don't know if all you guys know how to minister the Holy Ghost. See? So being a disciple, you need to know how to minister the Holy Spirit. So here would be a good example in the 19th chapter. I think it's Cornelius' house we're talking about. We're going down to visit with Cornelius a while and see what happened there. And I think it's 19:1, ain't it? That's why I told to go 19:1. That's what I wrote on my paper. I could be off myself. Acts chapter 10. Okay, let me see what I got in 19:1. I must have wrote down the wrong thing. But I'm going to look at it anyway. Okay? Is that okay, Ms. Lake? Yes, ma'am. You know, Ms. Lake went to Washington, D.C. over the holidays. And now she's the vice president. You guys didn't know that, did you? No, she did good down there. She brought back a good report. She said Dan is doing well. Those of you that know Dan Lake, he played a big role here in the church. Now, this is a policy. You know what? I wrote that down because that was part of our lesson last week. Actually, Peggy said we left off there. We left off talking about Apollos, didn't we? Didn't we mention something about Apollos and Paul going down? I might have just stopped right there and told you guys we're going to start back. That's how I got that 19, because that was my, huh? It's not in the notes, my sister said. So if it's not in the notes, we didn't get there. But I mentioned that we was going to start back with Apollos, because, you know, he was another one that got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was a sharp guy in the Word. And it talks about him in that 19th chapter. That's why I had got that down there. That he went and he ran up on, Paul ran up on him and began to talk to him about the same thing that as, and I like the way this guy evangelized Paul. Because he asked questions point blank, you know, where was you baptized to? You know, and he said, John the Baptist. See, that was all he knew. But he had got born again somewhere down the line, because Paul began to minister to him. And they all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he was a guy who was taught in the Word. It's amazing to me that all those people in under that covenant, how much they knew about the Word and the covenant. And when they rejected it for small things, you know. I mean, small things. Yeah, like, well, you know, you ate some pork. We just can't believe what you said. We know you're doing miracles. And, you know, I mean, they see stuff. And they said, well, that's what we, and that's why Jesus, you know, talking about swatting at a gnat and swatting a camel. you guys, man, you looking at all these little things about how a guy eat. He didn't wash his hands before he got his meal. So something wrong here. You know, that's what they did. And that made them miss God because of what they was doing. But this guy, he listened to Paul, his preaching. And when he listened to Apollos, I think it was 12 of them with him, traveling with him. He listened to what was being preached. And Paul baptized them in water, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He prayed for them to receive it. And as they received it, the Bible said they did what? And did they prophesy too? If you notice in the New Testament, most of the time the Holy Spirit fall, they usually, he don't just fall, without some other evidence. You know, I mean, speaking in tongues is one of them, but it's the primary. But, you know, in prophecy, they prophesy. Being able to prophesy. I see Reverend Stanback over there, you know. He prophesied to me years and years ago, you know. He said, I see you're going to pastor. I was evangelist at the time. He said, I know you got a call, evangelist calling. He said, but I see you're going to pastor. And so he reminded me of it again. I reminded him first, though. I told him, I said, you know, you're the only person that ever told me that, which I, you know, it was hard to accept that because, you know, the fact that I didn't reject it, but it was hard to accept that, you know, because he just came, was coming to my house, and we were standing outside, and he spoke that to me standing outside. He said, I see that. And well, old boy seemed pretty good, and he seemed weird on the line. But he sure told me that, standing right by my steps. And I think he was coming to Bible study, coming to prayer or something, because we had prayer in my house at the time. He was coming. But they did, by the Spirit of God, they did those things by receiving from God. That was some of the things that they did. So we see him in his ministry doing the same thing that I'm telling you we should be doing. That's what I really want to get over to the church. I want the church to be so excited about the things of God, about what God has called us to do, that they're just looking for somebody to pray with. They're just looking for somebody who's sick. They're just looking for somebody who's lost. And when they get to them, they just tell them, you know, I want to get you born again. I want to get you saved. I want to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, that's in their thinking all the time. And they get there because, you know, I'm a disciple taught of the Lord. You know, we used to have an old saying, you know, it's a brother here, preach at the drop of a hat. Sometimes he dropped the hat himself. he's ready to preach, boy. He's ready to go for it. See, so that's the way we should be. We should be the same way as disciples. We should be gathering in people all the time, saying to ourselves, I'm obeying the Lord. The Lord told me to go and do this. And he said he'll follow me. He said signs and wonders will follow. The word concerning salvation in the Bible says, he went with them. They didn't go by themselves because they obeyed. And when you obey God, quite naturally, he comes on the scene. That's what I was talking about on receiving the Holy Ghost, how the Spirit of God comes on the scene and do his work. He does his work. Now, even though we are not the one that we are the instrument, but he uses us and he do the work, you see. And I said when I started off, it's so many people that come to church, even this church. They come to this church, haven't received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They come to church all right. They love God all right. But you know, the scripture said, we covered this last week, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes. See, and Jesus told those guys which obeyed him, you wait till you receive that power before you go. You wait. And you know what those guys did? They went and waited. Do you know when they received the Holy Ghost? Way back then, John 20:23, Lisa, where are you? John 20:23. Gospel. You can't find no answer but the gospel. Let me see. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm giving you the wrong one. John 20:23. That got to be it, right? Let me see, wait a minute. John 20:23. Yeah. Okay. I was looking at this writing up on the board. What you got, brother? 22. I don't think I got that wrote down either. Okay, let's go back. Okay. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, that's what I want, 2022, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, this is Jesus talking to them guys. Now, that's when they received the Holy Ghost. You see, it tells us something as believers. See, they received the Holy Ghost right there. And when did they get it? On the day of Pentecost, over in Acts, That's when they got it, but then they received it. You know, when you read something like this, it should make you think like this. When I ask God for something, I got it then. I might not pick it up the down the road, but I got it now. See, they received that right there. And I guarantee you this. This is Willie, first chapter, first verse. I guarantee you this. When they got up in that upper room, they said the same thing to those people. I guarantee you they went up there and waited. Because, see, Peter was preaching up there all the time. See, he was preaching. That's how they wind up picking another disciple. He was preaching up there. Now, I won't say that was the right thing to do because God didn't tell him to go do that. He told him to go up there and wait, and they was up there in prayer. The reason why I say he preached it because God's pattern don't change, you see. God's pattern is always saying something and receiving. See, you have to always with God remember this, that he'll have us to say it, believe it, and receive it. See, so I guarantee you why they was preaching up there. They preached the same thing that Jesus told them, because when the Holy Ghost fell, he fell on all of them. See, because you know he was preaching because he come out of there preaching. And they asked him on down the road down when he preached that sermon on what must we do? And he was able to tell them what to do in order to be saved. See, and he said, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Where is that in Acts? Acts what? Down in Acts 2. Was that Acts 2? Acts 4. Wasn't it? Somebody help me. Acts 2, where he preaching, where Peter come out. It was the last part of 2 when he come out and preached the sermon. And they said he was drunk. And he said, we're not drunk. And he began to preach. And people got saved. That one, I'm like, he preached twice in the book of, huh? Where it starts. And it goes down to the end of his sermon when they asked that question. Yeah, and lifted his voice and said unto them, yeah, men of Judea, okay, yeah. Now, this wasn't part of my sermon. That's why I asked you guys about it. But I just remember it, you know, as I was going along right there. And he preached to those people. But see, he knew by preaching, just by following Jesus as a disciple, that Jesus preached certain things and anyone did those things. See, he did those things as he preached those things. And what happened was, like I was telling you, I can't give you no scripture on it, but I guarantee you, they was up in that upper room. I guarantee you he preached up there. Now, I don't know all the sermons he preached. I don't know everything he preached. He was up there praying. But I bet you he preached what Jesus told them before they got up there. And everybody up in that upper room received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now it says that like coals of fire, it set up on each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues. See, now we know he talked to them and told them to receive. I believe they talked to the other ones. I just believe that, you know, you don't have to put that in your notes. But I just believe that. And they all began to speak with other tongues. Now, we as believers, on the other hand, we have a guarantee of it, of the Holy Spirit, and how to minister it. Well, our guarantee is Jesus' teaching too, you know, in Luke 11. 11, I want to say, what? 11, 23. Luke 11 chapter where he says, you know, if you ask for bread, you know, to give you a stone. Jesus was giving that example as he taught in Luke. I use it many times to get people filled with the Holy Ghost myself. But he asked, you know, if for a fish, you know, would you give him a, huh? Nine. I get it up way up to 23 late. 11. Lee got it up. Okay. You doing good, Lisa. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, well, you know God is our father, isn't it? Would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, would he give him a serpent? On up to the next one. or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a serpent? Next one. And if you being evil, see, because we weren't saved, see, he's talking to being evil, then we were of that. I think it carries another meaning along with that, too, like unsaved or whatever. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? But see, we use that for a guarantee. I do when I'm ministering the Holy Spirit. For a guarantee that God, because a lot of people think, you know, they're going to get a devil. They ain't got some bad teaching, you know, on that. So they think I don't know what they make them think the devil's speaking tongues. But, they're going to get a devil. But, you know, devil had nothing to do with God's business here. So when you begin to minister that, you have to guarantee some people, not all people, most time religious people will ask questions like that, you know, because they heard so much bad teaching on baptism of the Holy Spirit. But now I can see why bad teaching is out there, too, because it's so powerful. See, the power that accompanies the Holy Spirit, which if we get a few more minutes, we'll talk about some of it. They might have to finish it up next week. But that accompany it would make the devil use people to stand against it, because that's what the devil does, you know. You have so many of us that are natural-minded. We think natural, and when we think natural, that means we act natural, you see, because we think that's the way we think. So that's the way we correspond to things from a natural point of view than from a spiritual point of view, you see. So God is a spirit, so we got to realize that if we're going to deal with God, we got to always deal with spirit. That's why Jesus said over there in John, the fourth chapter, that if, you know, that a spirit is spirit, and that God is a spirit, and he that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You see, God has to, you have to always see him from a spiritual point of view, from a natural point of view. And so what happened is that so much preaching is based on the natural to people. When they hear or see things in the natural, they accept that, you see, instead of accepting spiritual things. But we know that God is spiritual, and he called those things as be not as though they were, you see, because we walk by faith and not by sight, you see. So you know these ground rules to follow God, but now most of the time the natural man won't do that. And the Bible said to be natural minded is death. Okay, you did it, you got to die. Because you won't never find an end. The devil operates in the natural realm, see. You'll never find an end. And what motivates that is fear, see? Because the more you operate in the natural, the more you see in the natural. The more you see in the natural, the more you develop fear. But faith has to come by hearing the word of God, you see? Faith has to come that way. If Jesus is the author and the developer of your faith, and the faith that you're getting coming from Jesus Christ, all that means is that he started the word of God and he finished the word of God. And we speak the word of faith, which is the word of God. He's the start. He's going to make sure that everything in the word come to pass, because he's the author and the finisher of it. See, everything, it's nothing in there that's not going to come to pass when it's preached the way that he said you should preach it. Now, it can be rejected by someone. That don't mean it's not true, because every person has the right to reject the word. You don't have to take the word of God. You know, it's bad to say, but there are those. I have dealt with some of the people that have rejected the things that God just said they didn't believe it, and just outright rejected. Right, so that's what unbelief do to you. Unbelief do to you. It's of darkness, and it's all rejection. All rejection. Anything that fall under that darkness is rejection. See, that's why Jesus is so hard on unforgiveness. When he said, you stand praying, you forgive. Well, that's under that darkness. And that darkness will come on you and stop everything from operating on you. You know, yeah, and you still mad with your brother, mad with your sister, mad with your dad, mad with your mama, mad with the preacher because he got your money. Well, I got news for you. I didn't get your money. See, they'll be mad with me. You know, if I did get it, you ought to forgive me. Well, that's what he said, do. You know, well, some people do that, and they leave the church, go somewhere else, and find out the same thing going on. You know, went over there and lost their wife. Hey, well, losing money, we lost their wife over there. But the thing is, you got to believe what God has said, and you got to act on the word of God, what God has said. Now, by faith, we do receive the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? We do it by faith. You see, by faith we receive. And when we correspond to the faith, we speak in other tongues. See, you hear me saying this, but I want you to be able to go tell somebody else this and win them over and say, you know, I followed the directions. You see, I went and I preached the Holy Ghost. I used at Luke 11 and verse 7. I started with that. And I said, you know, you could go back to ask, seek, and knock on that. You know, whatever you're asking for, you know, he'll give it to you. You seek him, you'll find it. You knock, it'll be open to you. You can go back to all those scriptures and you can say, what are we looking for from God? You see, some people will tell you, you know, they ain't looking for anything. They just, you know, I look for nothing. Yeah, you're all right then. Yeah. People tell me that. I say people tell me that, Chad. You know? Because sometimes I ask them, you know, what I'll do. Hell, I ask them if they broke. You know what's the funny thing about a broke person? They don't want you to know they broke. That's, boy, that's amazing to me. You broke? No. I'm not broke. Yeah, well, that's okay. I'm just asking. I was going to give you a little something. Well, come here. No. Too late. Too late. But save people. Save people. They reject. I'm telling you, I fuss at people all the time. Reverend Steinbeck, you know, you try to give them something. You sure? I said, I just keep it in you. Well. Yes, take it. That's part of God's plan. Take it and grab my hand with it and say, now I'm going to bleed a hundredfold back to you. You see? I received that, you gave that to me, and I know what the Word of God says. I know that's the law you put into operation. If you give, it'll be given back to you. See, I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to go give it to somebody, and I'm going to double up on it. See what I'm saying? If I don't need it, I'm going to just double up on that. I'm going to just take it and keep it right on going. Twice sown seed, they call it. You know, I'm going to sow it again. I'm going to drop it in something else, and I'm going to believe I received a hundredfold return on it. So, you could do that, but you got to have a mindset for it. And then you got that worldly mindset. You're questioning it every time. Every time you're questioning. You ought to just whoop yourself up real bad. You know, I like what Cobra said, catch yourself by the ear and go up in a corner somewhere. Don't you do that no more now. You do yourself that way and quit, you know, rejecting. That's what you're doing. And you stopping laws, spiritual laws from operating. See, the law of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. They're all laws, but we have to be able to work these laws in order to get what God has for us. Now, and what we're talking about in receiving the Holy Spirit is that it's the law of giving and receiving, because it's already been given to you. And God is like this. He has a part to play and you have a part to play. See, what you want to do is play your part to the T. You want to say, now, if I don't know something, I want to ask God about it. I want to train myself to always ask God about it. You see, most people ask after they miss, you see. But don't. If you're not sure about something, ask the Lord about it. He says that the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us, to teach us, to guide us. He said he's going to train you. But you, how can you train a person who will never ask you anything? You know, is that... I mean, is something wrong with that? I don't know what it is, but it's Christians that way, especially that a lot of them I know. They don't ask, they go right on, make a mistake, fall off, and don't even tell you about it. Don't even ask you about it. One thing the Bible tells us about Christian people, we need each other. We need each other. Once we realize that, then we get on the ball with it. We need each other. If I got a problem, I need to get called my prayer group, my pastor, somebody say, come here, I got an issue. I need you to help me. Help me. Amen. But you know what they do? I would tell them, but I know they're going to tell somebody else. I just keep it to myself. You know, that's the way Christian people do. Ain't that pitiful? But you need to find you some honest people that you know, brothers and sisters. And being able to pull out, you ought to be able to go to them and say, look, I heard the pastor preaching Sunday. I'm coming to you, and I'm just going to tell you now, I hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. You know, a lot of people think I have, but I haven't. I want you to come and pray with me. Get with me, pray with me, get it. And then when I receive it, I'm going to testify. See, you start making preparations, see. I'm going to go testify to the glory of God. But you know, a lot of people don't want you to know. They keep it undercover. They don't tell you anything and never get anything, never have no power. He's talking about the power working with us. We need that power. We need to, not only do we need that power, but the Holy Ghost has so many other things to offer. Now, you know, we studied 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. I think it's about like verse 2. Let's see. Right off the bat. I know I was trying to think of the scripture in the 14th chapter said, he is speaking in an unknown tongue. If I can not speak in tongues, I tell you, speaking not unto man, but unto God. It's how it is. 14:2. Who's it? 14:2. Okay. I just want to be sure I had it when I was saying. Now, you see, not only receiving the Holy Ghost is a gift, but now you're finding out something about me. When you speak in tongues, you're talking to God, not unto man. Not unto man. So what do I care what a man think about it? I want to talk to God. You see? Now, here's a part, folks, that we left out. You see? And it's important to us. And it's discouraging if you don't do it. You see? He said, when you pray in tongues, ask the Lord for interpretation. Man, I tell you, I've been guilty about that. How about you guys? I mean, just pray, you know, and get up and leave. Just get up and walk away. Don't ask the Lord anything. Just walk away. But he said, ask for the interpretation. Ask God. I guarantee you, most Christian people get up and walk off. Don't ask God anything. Just got through talking to the biggest man in the world and never asked him anything. You did all your talking and left. And he said, ask for the interpretation. You know, for years I thought like this. I thought, well, if I interpret tongues, I'm going to probably switch over and go to speaking in English and interpret it. But, you know, that's not necessarily true. I'm not saying it won't happen. But, you know, when you begin to ask God things, God reveals things by revelation primarily. See? So when you ask for the interpretation, it might come by way of revelation. You might all of a sudden say, yeah, I see that. I never thought like that before. What's going on here now? See, he's revealing it to you. See, it's coming up. You have not because you've been praying all that praying, and then you turn around and ask God nothing. Got up like you was the boss, strutted off like a peacock. Just strutted off, you know. And then ask God, and God said, well, I would like to tell you what you said. That's why he said it in the book. See, when you're praying, now ask, you see, for that interpretation. But I don't know, a lot of Christian people, like hearing me today, they still probably going to go home, and when they do pray, they gonna say, you know, well, I got sleepy, I think I just quit off. Whatever the reason be that they leave. Because, see, you're not, when you start doing spiritual things, like we're talking about now, you don't think the flesh is going to let you by, do you? You know, only thing in you born again is that spirit. And, you know, God tell us to what? Renew our mind. That's our responsibility, isn't it? He asks us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, all those things will fight against you if you don't do those things that he asked you to do. See, they got to be trained. And then when you get them trained, you still have you to tap into it. It ain't no cakewalk. You got to come on with it. You ever see a guy that's, he in the game, but he don't ever practice? You know, so, man, you in the game, boy, what you do? Well, you know, I slept all day. If I'm your coach, you need to sit down. It's the same thing with Christians, see. They don't want to pray, but they want the answers. You see, they don't want to practice. You get in your prayer closet and begin to practice this every day, not one day, every day. If you don't get but just driving to work, get in your car, and you pray in tongues all the way. Then tell the Lord, say, you know what, Lord? I'm doing like the preacher said. I'm practicing today. You know, I'm practicing today. And by the time you get about halfway there or three-quarters of the way there, so now I'm finna shut up, and I'm going to ask you to interpret that I prayed. See, make that a habit. Make that, because he said it. We better read some of that. Let's go to 14 Corinthians for Lisa. Corinthians, or whatever I was saying about it. 1 Corinthians 14. You got it up there? Okay. Okay. Well, let him, okay, come on, all together, you guys, come on. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Pray that. He said that to us, the body. You make sure you pray that. Don't skip that, because that's part of what he told you to do. See, that's why I'm telling you, look, when his tongue's going to play out, anybody know when? Anybody know when the gifts of the Spirit are going to play out? Huh? When they're going to stop. Reverend said he know. When that which is perfect is come. It's going to stop. You don't need them no more because you know how come. You know everything. You know as you know. And it says in the same chapter down at the bottom, it says you know as you know. You know as he is. You. Somebody say it for me. I know y'all got y'all Bibles open. I believe I'm dealing with scholars here. You won't need tongues and interpretation anymore. You won't need the gifts. You see, all we need is what? What's going to stay with us? Love and what? Huh? Love, faith, and hope. That's what we're going to wind up with out of the deal. And all of those are attributes of God. God is love, isn't he? You don't never want to be without him. All right. So you see, all the rest of them, we need them now. See, a lot of people don't think we need them now. We need them now. We need to develop them now. We need to work on it now. We need to practice now. That's why I told you all, was it last Sunday, Sunday before? I said, you know, when I tell you guys, let's stop and have that quiet time. You see, I ask you to do that. We're putting the word out, you see. And let's just stop and listen to the Lord here. Let's give the Lord a chance to speak to us. You see, let's get, because you know he know all. So he might reveal something about what we're talking about now to you. But now that I'm telling you like I am now, you know, just all of a sudden it just come to your thinking, you know. And I said, well, did you get anything? Somebody said, well, that was just me. Yeah, it was just you, but what did you get? You see, I keep telling that all the time. Say what you got. Just don't be ashamed. You're practicing now. Just say what you got. Might not make sense to you, but somebody else it might make sense to. You see, because of what he said. He said for us, pray that we interpret. You see, stop and listen to God. You can't interpret if you don't listen. You do all the talking and just walk away from it. Same thing with me. That's why when I stop preaching, sorry, let's just get quiet here and let's just listen to the Lord here. See what he said. He reveals something to you that'll help us. Sometimes we might get tongues and interpretation. But most of the time, if you're listening to God, God will manifest itself through revelation. Paul said, I got all this stuff through what? Revelation. He said, the stuff I'm giving you, I got it through revelation. Now I'm telling you, God speaks to us through the word, don't he? Yeah, but he enlarges it by way of revelation. When you spend time meditating in the word, he makes it bigger. It comes right on out more and more if you give him some time. You see, it'll continually increase. Well, this is what this Holy Spirit does. That's part of his job to do that. So if we depend on him and allow him to do what he's telling us to do, a lot of things we wouldn't do. And a lot of things you're doing right now, when you do them, you say, I started not to do that. I was thinking on where I should have stopped. I started not to go. See, after a while, you're going to learn how to listen to that. You're going to have, so, you know, I was praying before I got in the car. And I got there and so, and I got over here, man, looking, expressway backed up 5 miles. Here I am sitting in line. I started to get off back to that summer street. Started. But you missed it. See what I'm saying to you? Because, you know, you're not looking for what I'm telling you God does. He reveals things to you. You see? If he's going to reveal it to you, you think he don't use your mind sometime? You think he's going to reveal it through somebody talking to you all the time? You think you got to interpret all the time? By words? No, he'll just reveal it to you. You see, because the word of God tells us in Corinthians, we got the what? The mind of Christ. You know where his mind is, don't you? In your spirit. I told you, it's in your spirit. You got the mind of Christ. You got the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ beyond anything that you could ask or think. He can bring it up to you. And all of a sudden you say, you could just tell yourself, that ain't coming out of my head. After you learn how to listen. That's God right there. Or you can stop and ask him, Lord, that you? See, he don't mind. You can use this southern accent like him. That be you? that be me, baby. remind me of Creflo Dollar, you know. My, time getting away. Creflo said he was asking the Lord something about situation going on, and he asked the Lord, so now what's up with that, Lord? He said, Lord, come right back with the answer and ask him, now what's up with that, baby? Creflo was telling us that in the meeting. He said, any way you talk to God, God can talk back to you. So you see, so God got a sense of humor, too. He can tell you some stuff that just make you just fall out your collar, and you can pull over and park and get out and say, good Lord, don't tell me that no more, Lord. Is that the truth? I know it got to be because you told me. But that's the way he is. Once we learn how to tap into him, see, and we know how to tap in now because we know what? He don't just speak through people, just don't speak through the word. He speaks through you. See? And if he enlighten you and you get some revelation, you can say, that was God. If I get the answer because I asked him to interpret something for me, all of a sudden I just know what I know. I just know what I know I know. And I know I didn't come up with it. It was God in me. The hope of glory. Amen, amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to start back next week. We're going to talk. Well, let me see. We're going to talk some more about the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? We haven't exalted him enough to pay attention. He's been sent to do all these things for us. We didn't know how to put him to work to do it. You see, he wanted to do them, but you know what? He won't never usurp authority over us that way. See, you have to ask him to help you. Show me why I'm missing that, Lord. Show me. Show me. You see? And you know, the Lord will show you. The Lord will show you. The Lord will show you. I'm thinking about Kenneth Hagin now. He, you know, he said when he was on that bed, you know, he said he told the Lord. He said, now, Lord, if you ask me, if you tell me that I don't believe it, I say you're lying. He said, that's what I told the Lord. He said, because I know I believe. I know I believe I'm here. And he said, Lord, so far as you know, you do. See, you just don't know enough. See, you just don't know enough. That's the way God is. He'll always come back and straighten you up. See, you know, but he's talking to God anyway. He said, then here, man, to be up walking around this time of day. He said, if you believe. You see, he said, that was the part you didn't know, that you need to be acting on the word. He said, laying there paralyzed. He said, boy, you all seen me trying to get out that bed. He said, I laid them old limbs over there. I was doing all I could to get out of that bed. But he said, I had over the bed pole. He said, pulling myself up, trying to get up out of that bed. But he said, by the time I got to my feet, though, he said, that power hit me in the top of the head. He said, run down like honey. He said, I've been walking ever since. Been walking ever since. You have not cause you ask not. Boy, God's good, isn't he? All we got to do is learn how to ask God. We got to learn how to follow those scriptures where we just got to read. Pray that you interpret. Pray that you talk to God. Ask God these things, and God will reveal them to you. Okay, stand up on your feet. Praise God. Anybody here want us to pray for you today? I got Dr. Oldie back today. Had my wife last week. My wife got everybody up here. get her back up here. She have them all up here. But if you need prayer for anything, if you say, well, you know, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. If you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I've been standing around and not filled with it, not praying in tongues. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. We all got to pray in tongues, folks. That's the last gift given to the body of Christ. The last gift, we ought to use it. We haven't experienced it enough. You know, I'm like Dave Rosen now. He said, all the time you don't pray in tongues when you're eating. He said, if you slow down, pray in tongues and go back to eating. That's the way you do. You need to pray in tongues. You need to speak. You can't get enough of it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, nobody answering anything. Anybody. Prayer for anything. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we said some words today that impacted the hearts of the people. We thank you, Father God, that we are not hearers only, but we are doers of the word. We know, Father God, that we're self-deceived if we just hear that word and don't do it. We set ourselves to act on the word. Pray in the Spirit more. Talk to you more. Ask you, Father God, as we pray to give us interpretation like you said to do. We believe that we receive that today. In the mighty name of Jesus, ministering spirits, go before us and make our way safe and prosperous. In Jesus' name, amen.